Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, we're back. Beningo on a Saturday. 888-808-1019, the phone number. And joining us right now, my good buddy, got the great book about the Steinbrenners out right now. Speaking of the Steinbrenners, I know it's doing very well for him. The great columnist of the New York Post, Mike Vaccaro. Mike, how are you?
Joe, good morning. How are you today?
I'm all right. I'm hanging in. Joe. I could be better. I could be better on a number of fronts, Mike. Number of fronts.
I believe it, Joe. Yeah.
By the way, how's the book doing? Book doing all right?
Yeah, it's doing really well, Joe. Thanks. Thanks to you and so many others who have supported it. It's done really well. We're very, very happy with it.
Very good. We appreciate it. It's a great book, no doubt about it. All right, got to start with my baseball team. What a disgrace, Mike. I mean, I got to tell you right now, this is a disgrace. 9-game losing streak. Not only that they're not hitting, they scored 16 runs in the 9 games. The defense has been terrible. They got guys playing. We used to have a first baseman. I forget what his name was. The guy played 160 games a year. Now we got three or four guys that have no idea what the hell they're doing there. But the defense, the inexcusable mental lapses. What is going on with this baseball team, Mike?
Yeah, that's the thing that concerns me the most, Joe, is that, look, I mean, teams go through hitting slumps and whatnot, but a couple of things you thought they were going to be able to rely on, you know, they have a lot of fairly high IQ baseball players, but that hasn't shown at all this year, including the shortstop, who just seems to be completely lost.
Yeah.
The pitching staff, they have McClain, who's terrific to watch every 5 days, and then they have everybody else who's something of a mystery, you know? I mean, you know, Peralta has been up and down, and the other three guys are just you know, hard
well,
to watch.
Holmes has been okay.
He's been okay, but I mean, listen, you lump those three guys together, they're just tedious to watch because they never throw strikes. Yeah. And it's just, and that gets them in trouble. You know, Holmes, right, I mean, of those three, Holmes has been, you don't want to necessarily lump them with Senga and Peterson, who have both been tire fires, but it's been, it's concerning. And, as the wise man once said, it gets late early out there, and it's getting late early. I mean, you know, it is early, but you don't want to be 7-17 at some point, and sometimes it seems like they're leaning toward that and beyond.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, they lose these two games in Chicago. I know Soto's not there, I get it, but they lose these two games in Chicago. I think Mendoza might be gone. I know it's early, Mike. They got an 11-game losing streak coming home to the Twins next week. Come on. Yeah, I mean, Mendoza's in trouble, and there's no question about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfair, but it's absolutely on the table. How can it not be? I mean, that's – yeah. I mean, if you can be just looking at – I think it's hard to determine exactly how much a manager has for the things that make you so crazy in terms of, like, the base-running mistakes and the fielding mistakes. But they just don't seem like an on-point baseball team, and you know – You got to bring somebody for that, you know, and unfortunately that's going to be the manager. But it's just been puzzling. I mean, I expected them to take a long time to get their feet on the ground in terms of how to you know playing together, but they just seem like a disjointed mess right now. And I get it; they turned things around 2 years ago, and so it's early and all that. But I mean, it doesn't mean you can't be concerned about what your eyes show you, and your eyes are telling you right now this is a team in a lot of trouble.
You know, and I'm tired of watching Beatty and Vientos and even Alvarez. I mean, what he did the other day in L.A., I mean, what are you doing? I mean, this guy, yesterday he got a little single to make it a 10-4 game, if you're watching yesterday. And he's doing like he's the Lombada in front of the Met dugout. I mean, you're down by 6 runs. What are you doing? And then he gets thrown out at second base the other day on a base hit to the outfield. I'm telling you, man, let me just say this, Mike, and then obviously I would sign for a 70-something win season if you guarantee me David Stearns is gone. I that's how I feel. I mean it.
No, I understand the mindset. I do. Look, of those players you talked about, I still think Alvarez, obviously he's not a terribly high IQ player right now, but I do think that you see stretches of him when you can see he's going to be, if you get the potential to be a star. The other two, look, I mean, the more you see Vientos, it looks like he was a a one-hit wonder, and we really haven't had Beatty's big hit yet. We haven't even had Come On Eileen from Beatty yet. Just his first at-bat, as a big leaguer, when he hit a home run, that's it. And that's part of the problem, is I think that the Mets thought that these guys would be farther along, and when they aren't, it makes things problematic, And I still like a lot of the things I see from Carson Ben, but I'm not sure how long he's
been. Bench. He's a homegrown. You know what, bro? He's a homegrown kid. I want to see the kid get a chance. I mean, I'm all for that,
Right, and my point was, you don't want to one team with the others, but that's the thing. I mean, when a team, looks at a player and says we really want to believe in this guy, as they did with Beatty and with Nientos, something that's hard for them to move on from. But we're starting to see a lot of evidence that maybe it's just not going to happen for those guys.
Yeah. No, it's really painful, and Nolan McLain is turning into Jake DeGrom 2.0. Where he pitched in a great game, 6-7 innings. He gives up maybe one run. The offense does nothing, and then the bullpen loses the game. That's what's happening with McLain.
Yeah, and it looks terribly familiar. That game at Dodger Stadium was very, very familiar. And if the guys is old enough like you and me, Joe, remember Tom Seger losing a bunch of games that way.
That's right.
He was still going to he would lose a lot of 1-0 games because he'd go the distance and nobody would score for him, but. That seems to be a proud Mets tradition, right now it's McLain every fifth day that makes you smile, and then you got a lot of worries. And look, I get it. Baseball's so funny. This is less than 90 losing streak can make you feel like the world's coming to an end. You put it together a couple in a row, you can feel differently. But that better happen soon because I get it. It's only April, but I just can't imagine the slog ahead of us if this doesn't get much better very quickly. And you're right. I don't have off the top of my head a manager I see you got to hire to bring in, but at some point you just got to do something. You got to stop the bleeding somehow, and if that means changing that job, that's the necessary result, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Soto's coming back this week, and hopefully that's obviously going to add something to the. Or it looks like he's coming back next week. That's going to add something to the offense. There's no doubt about it. I'll tell you right now, if they fire Mendoza, and I know they're not going to do this. But if they fire Mendoza, I want Carlos Beltran as the manager. He should have been the manager of this team in the beginning. He got hosed because of that stupid scandal with the Astros. What a disgrace, okay? At least they got him into the Hall of Fame now. They're going to retire his number later in the year. That's who I want. But I'm hearing they're going to give it to this guy. What's his name, the bench coach? Kiki Correa, whatever his name is? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Who knows? You're right. I'm with you. If you're gonna replace him with somebody, I'm with you. I always thought that Beltran deserved at least a shot. I thought that was actually a fairly inspired choice when they hired him, and then a very cowardly one when they fired him.
Yep, he really was. All right, let's switch gears to the Garden. All right, now number one, I am ticked off about this Prime Video nonsense tonight and Game 3, which, by the way, of course, coincides with the Jets with the NFL draft on Thursday, which I'm ticked off about that too. But whatever. All right. I'm going to tell you right now, and you know this, Mike, and I've said this over and over about this Knick team. They better win game one tonight. They have never, ever, 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 including last year, won a playoff series when they lost game one at home. This is a must-win game tonight, and it won't be easy against the Hawks. Your thoughts?
Look, the Hawks are playing great. In that sense, the Knicks, caught a bad break, I think. Look, I think when you look what the Hawks did, I think a lot of what they did was a product of just an incredible. He played the Nets a lot of times. He played a lot of games against the Wizards. He played the Jazz twice. A lot of that was a product of a soft schedule. Okay, that's fine.
Right.
Everybody gets to play those games. So you can't take points away. I just look at the two teams. I just think the Knicks are a better team, And look, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It certainly doesn't guarantee anything. And I also believe, because, I know with this today, it wasn't just the Knicks that seemed a little bit the season went a little too long because just disinterested during long stretches of the season. So did Knicks fans. I ran into a lot of Knicks fans in my travels this year who just were like, let's get to the playoffs, please.
I can't
stand another game against them. And, so we get to see it, But I don't think it's fair to say that we're flipping a switch because it did win 53 games. That's not nothing, but. Look, all year long, from the owner on down, everybody said that really they're not going to be judged until the first day of the playoffs. And so, you know, Judgment Day literally arrives today. You're absolutely right about needing to, you know, and not just because of the historical context of never losing a game one at home and coming back to win, but just you want to get off to a good start just to make sure that you're, you know, that your engines are firing. Again, I look at these two teams and I think the Knicks are the better team, but if it's the first time out tonight and it's Hawks 13, Knicks 4, it's going to be a little uncomfortable to guard. And you know, that's the way things have happened for the Knicks. They start slow. That could easily happen, and then you're in for a struggle the next 42 minutes. But look, I mean, I think the Knicks should win the series. I know I picked them in 5, which might be a little bit optimistic. I just think that reflects where the two teams are, and of course, then now you got to play the games.
Look, I think they're winning 6. I'm saying 6 for them. I think they'll win the series. I do. What I'm worried about, I know I'm jumping the gun here, but I'm worried about playing the Celtics in round 2. I'm going to tell you right now. If you think, and I've said this already, Mike, I know we're jumping the gun. If you think the Knicks are going into Boston and winning 2 games in Boston like they did last year to start that series, you are delirious, okay? I am concerned. They'll beat the Hawks. I really feel confident about that. I'm very worried about playing the Celtics in the second round.
You know what? If you're going to get to where you got to go, eventually you got to play a good team, right? So, I mean, to me, it's I'm not taking anything away from the Celtics. Is what they did this year. I mean, Joe Mazzulla is just he's a seer. It's incredible what he was able to do. Forget the fact that they were missing Tatum for the first half of the season. Yep. I mean, they lost half their team from last year, and they still won 55, 56 games. So, I mean, that's an incredibly well-coached team that everybody on the team's got a lot of buy-in for, and that's a dangerous team to play in the playoffs. And obviously, you're going to have the two superstars, you know, there too. I mean, the thing that made me feel better about last year is that I really thought going into that series last year, the Knicks, this has been non-competitive with the Celtics all year, you know, and it was really not just fortuitous they won those first 2 games the way they did them. It was a miracle. I mean, both those games are proceeding the way you expected them to. I mean, it wasn't going to surprise anybody. I don't think you and I, certainly, if they wound up losing those games by 20, 25 points, because going to be the disparity between the two teams. I don't think that's the way it is now. I mean, look, for better or worse, I think the Knicks themselves are confident playing in the Celtics. I don't have the same feeling they have that against the Pistons right now, but that's really down the road. But they seem to have a lot of confidence playing the Celtics right now, which – you know, might be, you know, irrational confidence, but, you know, they did win 3 out of 4, and I get it.
Yep.
Every one of those games has an asterisk attached to it. But I mean, I guess at this point, we'll all just be happy if we do get 7 games with the Celtics. That's A, because of the theater, B, because of the history, and C, because it means they will have escaped the Hawks.
Yeah. Hey, look, I think it's going to – look, again, I don't think this Hawks series is going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. But I do feel they're going to win. I feel confident about this series. I'm not – look, I don't think the Knicks are winning the championship, okay? I mean, I'm a Knicks fan since 1962. I live in the real world, and the real world tells me they haven't won a championship since 1973. Why would I think they're winning now, you know? So I will be shocked – if my team wins the NBA title. I got to tell you right now, shocked.
Yeah, and it's a different feeling this year, right, Joe? It seems like even every bit of the last 4 or 5 years when they've had success in the playoffs, there's always been a feel-good nature attached to it.
Yes, yes.
Now there's pressure, Mike. Yeah. You know, it's funny. What's hilarious, I kind of wrote this morning too, Joe. It's like, you know, Yankee fans are used to having joyless pursuits of championships. You know, it's just that's what they expect. And the Knicks haven't won a championship in 54 years, and there seems to be a very similar feeling attached to it. Like, well, if we get to the conference finals, I mean, that's where we should be. that's a bold feeling and a weird one to have for a team that hasn't had a lot of success. But I also understand it because, look, I mean, they made the move they made last year to change coaches with the idea that they believed they'd hit a glass ceiling with Thibodeau. For better or worse, that was the decision they made. And, you know, the owner goes on the radio not long ago and says that they're a finals team. So if he's going to say it, then everybody's going to say it. And the problem with that is that if they don't get there, you know, I mean, I personally still don't trust him to be able to reload, retool, rebuild, whatever's going to follow a playoff exit this year. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. Whether they win the title or not, I've enjoyed having Knicks relevant again the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah, no. You know, look, I mean, it's better than the abyss. The only difference between the abyss, though, and this is the pain of losing in the playoffs, okay? Yeah. and the pain of Michael Jordan and the pain of Reggie Miller. You know what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's the thing. You know, when they were absolutely garbage, there was no pain. Okay, now you got pressure, you got pain, and at some point we're gonna have major pain again. I mean, I know it's coming. I know it's somewhere along the line, Mike. I know it's coming, and I have learned. Look, the home court advantage to me means nothing. It means nothing because I've seen the Knicks lose major games at home in the Garden in the playoffs over the years, and I've seen them win big games on the road. So I don't put a ton of stock in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't either. And the fact is that when you talk about the abyss, I mean that's I think what I'm worried about is that. That an impetuous owner might want to, you know, start from zero again.
I just don't
know that a lot of Knicks fans have that in them, you know, because
would he fire Mike Brown? Do you think he'd fire Mike Brown if they don't make it to the finals?
I think he'd rather not because it looks badly on him. But look, I mean, I think that certainly you have to ask the question, given the fact that he's got these expectations, and if they don't reach those expectations, I mean, who knows how he would respond?
Right.
You know, Giannis is out there, so maybe they just completely retool the team. You can listen to me as somebody who doesn't think that Giannis is a savior, not at this point in his career. That's why Pat Riley used to have the term the precious present, right? I mean, that's why it's like, you know, there's a game at the Garden today, but a pretty important game is going to be electric. I think you enjoy that.
Yeah.
Hopefully you win that. You move on, get a few more. And maybe things break right for you one time. You know, I mean, look, I mean, why can't the Knicks be last year's Pacers, right? And you know, by the end, everybody's like, well, this is a good team. They just need to find themselves. Well, nobody thought that at the beginning of the playoffs. And then they beat the Cavaliers, they beat the Knicks, and they came, you know, 24 minutes from beating the Thunder. So, I mean, you just never know, you know. Basketball is the kind of game you get on a roll. All of a sudden, things look a little better than they did a couple of weeks ago. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, they're playing tonight. Thank God for that. How short is the rotation, you could think? Eight guys in the rotation?
I'm going to go with nine, but it wouldn't surprise me if we did eight because, you know, look, I mean, the fact of the matter is the playoffs, now you have no reason to worry about limiting guys like Brunson's minutes. I mean, if you want to let him play 40, no one's going to argue that. You know, and a lot's going to come down to foul trouble. And here's to me the key, Joe. I mean, and I know he gets a lot of heat, and Cat, you know, Cat brings it on himself because he does a lot of weird things.
Yeah, but he gets a lot of unfair heat, Mike. I think he gets. Look, the guy's a 100%. Double-double machine. I mean, come on.
Yes. Yeah, and look, I mean, he's also a guy who, you know, I know this sounds like you're a homer, but it's not. I mean, of all the very good players in the league, I think he gets the worst whistle. Now, maybe he brings it
out. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mike, thank you. Thank you.
So that's
the worst whistle. So that's probably, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing. When he's playing one, he's been playing one the last couple of weeks. I mean, yeah, very quietly.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
When he's playing, and especially against this team, which is going to try and pressure Brunson to the teeth. You know, to have him as a guy who's not only a good scorer, but a great facilitator. He's a really good passer, and you widen the offense. I mean, you take all that kind of pressure off of Brunson as long as he's playing well, and you know, and that's what I think the real key, especially against the Hawks, is. Now, the problem is, I mean, he's just as likely to get two dumb fouls in the first 3 minutes in the first quarter, and all of a sudden you're like, well, here we go again.
That is true.
And that's what you have to avoid. I mean, that's why there's a lot of qualifiers here, but if things go reasonably well for the Knicks, there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to, you know, not have too many uncomfortable moments against the Hawks. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, like, as you said, but I just think they're better, but they have to stay on the floor. Obviously, they got to stay healthy. I mean, God forbid something like that happens. And you take your chances from there.
Yeah. Mike, okay, I'm saying Knicks in six and then prayer. I got to let you go because they're telling me I got to break. But my prediction is Knicks in six against the Hawks and then stop praying if you're a Knicks fan. That's how I feel.
Maybe the Sixers can draw some more.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Course, I give them a punch a shot. I give the Sixers a punch a shot.
Of course.
I do.
Of course, then if that happens, that means the Knicks have been Embiid again. So that's you have to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Mike, it's always a pleasure. You know I love you. God bless. Check out his book on the Steinbrenners. It's a tremendous book. Go out and get it. The great Mike Vaccaro. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Joe.